Tuesday's budget brought little in the way of good news for the health service. The HSE is already projecting an overrun in its budget of 1.5 billion euro this year, and it had sought significant extra cash next year to avoid a repeat of that happening. Instead, just 800 million euro was allocated, far short of what it was looking for. As a result, this weekend, the HSE has extended a recruitment freeze to the end of the year, and some frontline staff have been added to the recruitment embargo, including junior doctors, healthcare assistants and home helps. We're joined from our Limerick studio now by the chief executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester. Bernard Gloucester, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Based on the budget allocation that you got on Tuesday, is the health service properly funded for next year?
I think it's important to say, Justin, that I can understand the public view. The health service does have a lot of money and has had very good increases in funding over recent years, all of which have been put to very good use and for which there's been very good outcomes for the public. The simple reality, to address your question bluntly, is that the cost base that we currently carry for the health service, based on all that we know about the spend this year, the level of funding for next year is not adequate to support that cost.
It's not adequate to run the health service to the level that it needs to be run at, or the level that it's run at this year. How much more money would you need to maintain existing services?
So there's a couple of challenges to that, and again, just to try to simplify that for everybody, I anticipate the deficit in the health service expenditure this year will be close to, if not at, 1.5 billion euro. That excludes the disability services, which have now moved to a new government department. Depending on what happens with supplementaries or revised estimates between now and the end of the year, all of that 1.5 billion euro cost will be carried forward and repeat again next year, so that cost will still be there and we'll have to pay those bills. And then we have what's called an existing level of service principle. It's a long established principle in public sector funding. And the department would have estimated probably somewhere in the region of about 1.2 billion extra next year on top of the piece that we carry out of 2023. So you can see those figures are quite substantial, in the order of between 2.4 and 2.7 billion euro is essentially what would have been required when you take the 23 deficit and the 24 cost of running that.
And you got nowhere near that in the budget. You got 800 million euro, I think 706 million to maintain existing services, which you say cannot be done on that level of funding. Are you going to have to make cuts?
So I think it's a couple of things just to say in terms of what we got. We got just over 700 million euro on the existing level of service. We did get 100 million to meet pre-existing commitments and some new developments, for which I'm certainly very, very grateful. That will allow us bring in another 2,200 staff on the closing position of this year to open 22 ICU beds, to open the remaining acute beds and community beds that we're currently building. So I'm certainly very appreciative of that consideration. In terms of the shortfall, I think the last time I spoke with you, Justin, I made the point that the deficit or the underfunding of the health service cuts into three parts. The first part is inflation, and there's very little that I can do about that other than cut services to meet that cost. And that's not something I'm considering recommending to either the board or the department. Just give you an example of that inflation piece, if I can. Our energy and electricity contract came for renewal on the 1st of April 2023. And at the date of the contract change, our annual expenditure went from 69 million to a projected 127 million. That's an 85% increase in energy alone. Our cleaning costs, which you can imagine are exceptionally important in the health service at any time, but particularly in the infection control times that we now live in post the pandemic, increased by 20% in cost, and our food costs, price increases by almost 30%. So that's the inflationary space. That's part one. Part two, is the increased and unprecedented and to some degree unforeseen level of demand for health and social care services, not just experienced in Ireland, but in many jurisdictions. And so if I give you an example, this year an additional 80,000 people came onto waiting lists than we had planned for or estimated. And that's significant of just one part of the many demand factors that we deal with. So that's part two. And part three is the part that the HSE can contribute, continue to do something about, and that's the control environment where in areas like pay, in agency and overtime, you spend what you have rather than what you don't have. So that's okay. That's the part. Simply to put the position for next year, Justin, I anticipate there will be a challenge at the end of next year in the order of close to €1 billion. And I don't propose to cut services to achieve that. What I propose to do is demonstrate the best possible control environment based on what we're funded to do.
Okay.
And to run that deficit to the minimum amount I can without cutting those vital services. There are a lot of services that are funded for next year, and it's just important to make that point.
All right. But will you be able to proceed with your planned investment in cancer and stroke facilities next year?
So that's where the biggest impact of making sure we control our employment numbers to what we're funded and targeted to do. I simply can't hire more people than I'm funded to do. We have record numbers of people working in the health service. So the part I do envisage will be the impact of the budgetary position next year, even with that deficit I talked about, will be a significant slowdown in a number of the development programmes and clinical programmes, which have been running and running quite successfully in recent years.
And that includes cancer and stroke facilities, does it?
It's all of the clinical programmes. All of those services already have high levels of staffing and investment, but their further development rate will slow down. So next year will be very much a year of consolidating what we're currently doing and managing, obviously, the two critical areas which we intend not to lean back on, and that's managing urgent care access in our emergency departments and also scheduled care access on our waiting lists. Both of those are heavily funded, and I intend to continue to pursue the improvements in those.
Are waiting lists likely to grow if you don't have the money you need to fund the service next year?
So the waiting list action plan, which is a short-term plan that has been in place in 22-23, is funded to happen again in 2024. Like I said, some 80,000 more people came onto the list than we planned for this year. But equally, we took off more than 70,000 people more than we were targeted for this year. So we have shown enormous efficiency and productivity and creativity in our response to waiting lists. I've said to you many times before on this and other programmes, the size of the waiting list is not the core issue, it's the length of time people are waiting. We have managed to reduce times. We're one of the few countries in Europe at the moment that have been able to achieve that. If you look at waiting lists in Northern Ireland.
And can that progress continue next year if you say you are underfunded?
It's the waiting list action plan is funded for next year.
Okay.
So the access and urgent care are the two areas that I've said I'm not prepared to forego on next year. There will no doubt be difficulty and challenge felt in other areas, but they're two services that I simply couldn't countenance reducing. We've made some progress on the trolleys this year, but we've a long, long way to go on that facing into the period that we're facing.
All right.
So it's the development side of the health service will be impacted next year. But that will tell in future years, Justin, and let's be in no doubt about that. The slower we are progressing development, the greater the impact is in years to come.
Writing in the Sunday Independent today, your predecessor in your job, Tony O'Brien, described Budget 2024 as the most malevolent and destructive for health funding in a decade, and he said it widens the chasm between what it really costs to run the health service and the money that's actually been given, and this will lead to real cuts in the health service, and make no mistake, it will harm patients, he says. Would you disagree with anything Tony O'Brien says there?
So Tony is a very good analyst and commentator, and he has very good insight. What I'm saying to you is my job, and no different to when Tony was in the chair, my job is to make sure that I manage risk to the public regardless of the constraints that might be there. I think what I would say to you is this: if the demand was on the health service and me as the CEO to produce a break-even service plan next year, then we would certainly cause harm. I don't envisage that we're going to be doing that. Hence why I have said very publicly and very clearly, I'm not planning to achieve the highest level of deficit possible. I'm working to achieve the lowest level of deficit possible. But make no mistake about it, our service plan for 2024 that we will put forward to the minister will include a built-in deficit, which is the first time in my memory of service plans that would be the case.
Which makes the budget then a fiction, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's perhaps for other people to decide. My job as a senior public servant is to provide the services that I'm obliged to provide in law and in accordance with government policy. What I would say is, and I make this point again, we have very significant levels of funding, we have very significant levels of staffing, but we do not have enough to do what we're currently doing today.
To address your budgetary problems, as you've said there, you have introduced a recruitment freeze until the end of the year, and it has been extended to include some frontline staff, including junior doctors. Do you anticipate that recruitment freeze will run into next year too?
If I can just reflect on that to give people a sense for it. At the end of last December, the health service had 137,745 full-time equivalents. We estimated that the market would give us about 6,000 additional this year. And our recruitment and our recruitment processes have been very successful. And we're now running close to that 6,000. In many grades, we've gone over the target. So what I'm doing is simply capping the recruitment to what was targeted to be done this year and what was affordable. The position going into next year will be that budget holders in hospitals and community healthcare services will be given a very clear allocation of a whole-time equivalent control and a budget appropriate to that. And I can't give managers a number to employ if I don't give them the budget, but they will have to work within that and live within that. That didn't happen this year in a number of grades, albeit for perhaps justifiable reasons locally. So people will have a control number next year, and that control number will be the outturn for this year, plus 2,256, which is linked to the 100 million I talked about earlier. That will be the control. There won't be further growth, and that's what we'd be working towards. You've mentioned junior doctors, and I think it's fair to comment on that, and I've seen the scale of commentary over the weekend from the IMO and others, and indeed they're quite entitled to advocate for their profession. I don't have a difficulty with that. At the end of December last, there were 8,260 junior doctors in the Irish Health Service. We planned in the medical and dental grade code this year to increase that by 500, and by September we've already increased by 777. That's why the pause is there.
Okay.
So since December 2019, there's 1,760 additional junior doctors in the system. Whether that's what's needed or not is a different argument. That's what I'm funded to do. I've listened to very significant narrative for the past 4 to 6 weeks that the HSE is some type of out of control, and even pejorative terms used, like we're a parasite flesh-eating on the public services. That simply is not the case. But the one part I said to you we can have a control environment on is the numbers we're funded to employ.
All right. I want to put to you some comments from the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, who was quoted in the Business Post newspaper today saying that the HSE had to stop recruiting more staff than had been approved after hiring several hundred staff in excess of agreed numbers. You did hire in excess of agreed numbers, did you?
Yeah, that is correct. In some of the grade codes, by July of this year, There was levels exceeding the numbers that were planned.
Yes, and I think you pointed out yourself in a memo to staff that in terms of manager posts, the HSE increased manager posts by 31% since December 2019, or almost 6,000 additional managers. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to convince the government that you need more money when you're spending that money on hiring managers to administrate the service rather than on frontline people.
Yeah, so let's just be clear. Manager seems to be the capture phrase. The grade code is management and administration. It's from grade 3 entry grade clerical officers right up to myself as the CEO. And the highest percentage growth in the health service from 2019 to the end of last year was in the management administration category. The highest numbers was in the nursing and midwifery category. But for management administration this year, which already had a high number, and a lot of managers and administrators are working on frontline services, Justin. When you go into an emergency department and meet a receptionist, that's who you meet. But this year we plan to have 1,460 additional new posts on top of an already very high number of 23,000. The simple reality is that by September, that had increased to 1,789. That's 300 more jobs than was planned for in the whole year additional.
Yes.
And that's 300 jobs less than I have for other grade codes. And that's why I have to work to a total control.
You do. And what do you say then to people who say you're the person in charge of the service? Mm. If you're allowing these cost overruns to happen, the result of that is potential harm to patients down the line.
Yeah, so I'm not allowing any of these cost overruns to happen. I took up my job on the 6th of March. I introduced a management administration pause for certain grades, particularly the more senior ones, from around about June or July, I think, which is only a short few weeks after taking over a workforce of some 140,000 people. So I'm very clear what my responsibilities are, and have already had a fairly significant reaction and been served with notice of industrial action, which is now in play from one of the unions. And I expect that may come from others. The fundamental reality here, Justin, is I am funded to employ a certain amount of people. That is the one thing I can control, and it is the one thing where we have been a little bit less than strong in our control environment for lots of good reasons, post-pandemic and pressures. Agency, I was criticised on Friday for pausing agency at the level it's at. Agency in the Irish Health Service this year is running three times to what it's budgeted for.
All right, Bernard Gloster, HSE Chief Executive, thank you for talking to us from our Limerick studio today. After the break, we're live in Israel.